you can be sincere and wrong. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, a program that isn't designed for nice Christians doing nice things for God and helping you to be nicer. This is Bible teaching for real living. Here's Steve.
Thank you, Mike. If you have your Bible, turn to the 28th chapter of Jeremiah. I think I've been saying 20. I meant 28. I bet lots of people, lots of Presbyterians, because they couldn't find it, but even the Baptists couldn't find it if I gave the wrong. We're looking at the 28th chapter. We spent last week on the 20th chapter. 20th chapter is the conflict between Jeremiah and Hananiah. And Hananiah is a false prophet. And we're looking at some things because there are a lot of people going around saying, what I have to say is from God, and you had better listen. And some of them are not from God. And so we're taking the time to look at this chapter. We're going to finish with Jeremiah this week. Yesterday, we talked about a couple of things. First, we noticed that what Hananiah said was good news, and people liked it, but it was simply wrong. Be careful of a religion that teaches nothing but happiness and joy and tiptoeing through the tulips with Jesus. Just be careful of that. That's a sign of false prophecy. Then, secondly, we saw yesterday that Jeremiah, in his heart of hearts, really hoped that Hananiah's prophecy would be true. He didn't say, Hananiah, you said everything was going to be okay. It's not. Boy, are you going to get yours. And Jeremiah said, amen. He said, I hope that's true. That's the sixth verse. Now, let me show you something else, and it's sort of like that, but it's important to see, too. Third, I want you to notice that Jeremiah did not, and we should not, question the sincerity of Hananiah or false prophets. Do you ever think that sincerity has nothing to do with truth whatsoever? You ever talk to somebody who was really going through an emotional breakdown and they were quite sincere about God? I have. In fact, I one time had a man come in and announced to me that he was the Messiah. And he was so sincere. He stood in front of my desk and said that he was Messiah. And he said, the only reason I'm here, and there were tears in his eyes. He said, the only reason I'm here is that I want you to hear the truth, that I speak to you, and God has sent me to hear the truth. Now, I knew he was sincere. There were tears in his eyes. But I said something profound like, no, I don't think so, or something. And I tried to tell him about Jesus, but he was so convinced that what he said was true that there was nothing I could say. You know what we do as evangelicals sometimes? We question the sincerity of people and mess up those we teach thereby. You say, explain that, okay. Like we teach our kids in the church. Now, you're going off to the university, and there's some mean, bad, evil, wrong people at the university. And you know what happens? Our kids go off to college or university, maybe a secular place, and they meet these nice people. You know, they're not only nice, they care. They're compassionate. They're kind. And then they think, well, they were wrong about that. Maybe they were wrong about the truth, too. It's very important that we as Christians separate truth from sincerity. Jeremiah didn't say, Hananiah, you made that up. You're lying. You know you are. You're trying to get power. Your motives are impure, and God's going to strike you dead. Now, God did strike him dead. But there's no place in this chapter where Jeremiah questioned the sincerity of his adversary. We've got to be careful about that, too. There are people who are saying some incredibly bad things, but they're sincere. And that ought to give them points, especially in the way we treat them and the way we talk about them. Let me move on. Let me give you one more point, and then we'll answer some questions. Notice that the test that was proposed by Jeremiah was the test of fruit. And we should have the same test. Look, if you will, down, this is Jeremiah speaking at the 7th verse of the 28th chapter. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, and the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Now, Jeremiah says a couple of things. First, he says, if you're prophesying the future and the future happens the way you said it, you think, I ought to listen to this person because what they say is from God. But you can take it beyond that. It's the fruit. It's the reality. It's the stuff that comes out of the words of the one who speaks for God. You want to know if a church is faithful to God? Don't look at the crowd. Look at the lives. Don't listen to how articulate and good-looking the preacher is. Go look at the people in that church. See if they're walking it. See if they love each other. See if they love Christ. And then you'll know that the man or the woman who teaches them is a man or a woman of God. And Jesus said we ought to be fruit inspectors. And Jeremiah said the same thing. You think about that. Amen. We generally take some time at the end of the broadcast on Wednesday to answer some questions. I'm going to do that. My pastor will be in on Friday and straighten out any heresy that I proclaimed on today's broadcast and to answer some questions. But we get thousands of questions, and you always get an answer from either a staff member or on the broadcast or in the magazine. But you do have to write your questions down. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us your questions, steve@keylife.org, but be sure and give us your regular mailing address. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number to ask questions. You can make your contribution or get the booklet that From Panic to Power that we're offering free, or the magazine free, or Key Life tapes free, but you got to write your question down. By the way, whenever you write or call, be sure and give us the call letters of this station, and a reminder that Key Life is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA. It's a widely recognized Christian financial organization created to assure ethical monetary practices by its members. And a reminder, check out our website, www.keylife.org. Lots of neat stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. All right, this is an email. What's the difference between forgiveness and repentance? Forgiveness is going and saying, would you forgive me for that? Spilling the milk all over the street. Repentance is saying, oh man, I think I'm going to go and clean it up. Now, I used to teach that repentance was cleaning up the milk. And because I thought that, I could never repent because I knew how bad I was and I couldn't clean up the milk. Repentance is from a Greek word, metanoia, and it means to change your mind. Now, it doesn't mean just change your mind. It's a mind change that has to do with your entire life. But it doesn't mean that you immediately get good. I remember when Scott Ross first became a Christian. He was on drugs. And I heard his testimony about a year after he became a Christian. He said, I'm so glad they didn't say that I had to stop drugs. They just said I had to go to Jesus. If they had told me I had to stop drugs, I couldn't have gone to Jesus. Because I knew I couldn't stop the drugs. They understood. But I knew they were bad, and they wanted me to know that. I knew that I wanted to stop. They wanted me to say, did he repent? Yeah, he did repent. And once you repent in that way, then the ball is in God's court. And then all of the resources of the universe. Repentance is God's methodology for change. It isn't change. Forgiveness is kind of lighter than that. It's like saying, I'm sorry. And God says, you're forgiven. Repentance goes deeper. It's an understanding of who God is and what you've done. And who you are, and your helplessness and turning to Him and asking for His grace. Okay. What is the qualification? What are the qualifications for church membership? This is from Georgia. Knowing Jesus, that's it. I remember, now, don't read me wrong here. Some of you are in very good churches that require you to go through 18 years of membership training. You have to sign a covenant. You have to promise to never drink, smoke, or cuss, or associate with anybody who drinks, smokes, or cusses, or associate with anybody who associates with anybody who drinks, smokes, or cusses. They require 10% tithe, and your church membership is renewable every year. You know, I'm not saying that churches can't set standards for membership in an institutional sense, but in a biblical sense, when you come to Christ, when you are redeemed, you are thereafter a member of the church. Now, or at least the invisible church. Now, there are institutional necessities, and I think there ought to be maybe some requirements. I remember an elder, I used to have piles of requirements to get in the church. In fact, they were so heavy that people thought I didn't want them to join. I had to say one time from the pulpit, I know that I really would like for you to be a part of this church. And one of the elders came to me and he said, you know, it's harder to get in this church than it is to get into the kingdom of God. And it ought not be that way. And I thought about it and prayed about it, and I said, yeah, that's right. And so I stopped setting up the requirements. We requested they go through a membership course and things like that, but I'm a little bit easier on the other stuff. But in fact, if you're a Christian, you're a member of the church, so deal with it. This is from British Columbia, Canada. What does the Bible teach about the end times? Do we know when Christ is going to return? I'm glad I only have a little bit of time, because I only know a little bit. I'm not really a prophecy teacher. I'm not an expert. I have some views, but I'm not that sure about them. But I have one view, and I'm absolutely sure about what to. I'm going to give them to you for you. Jesus is coming back. That's the first view. And the second is, we don't know when. I'm History, guys. Whenever you write a call, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. A lot of fine folks make this broadcast possible. We'd like to know who they are. And, oh yes, Key Life and the listeners supported production of Key Life Network.